Hey, baby.
Hey.
Naomi and Andy here with a quick Q/request.
Yes. So, okay, Acast is doing these audience surveys, okay? We put the link in the show notes. The link is going to be in the link tree on our Instagram and everything like that. Here's the thing, Naomi. You know, we're already pretty choosy about the ads that we allow on the show. No weapons manufacturers.
Raytheon, get out of here.
Yeah. Screw off, Raytheon. But we want to make sure that the ads are kind of tailored to y'all.
Right.
Okay? Right? Say you want to hear ads for A Different World DVD box sets.
We need to know that.
We need
can
to
go
know
out
that.
To them. We can get the word out. But we only can get the word out if you give us the word. So you got to fill out the survey. It is quick, quick, quick. And it just lets us know if the ads you're hearing are the right ads for you.
Yeah.
So get on over to the show notes where that link is or the Couples Therapy link tree and fill out that quick survey so we can pass the word on to Acast.
All right. Roll it.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Oh my God, open your hearts, loosen your butts. It's time for couples therapy.
Yeah, this podcast is Andy and Naomi's, where they can both laugh and hang with all their homies, talking excellent vacationing with brunches and cuddling, to messy situationships and conscious and coupling, from Netflix hookups to single them with some Hulu, text, sex, regrets, or feeling on your new jubu. They gon' talk about it, yeah, you are invited, needing therapy, I guarantee, baby, we got it.
It's couples therapy.
And welcome to Couples Therapy. My name is Andy.
And I am Naomi.
We are a real-life couple.
Real-life couple of comedians.
And on Couples Therapy, we answer a couple different questions from a couple different listeners.
As you can tell, Andy's really conjuring energy right now.
Conjuring, yes.
I didn't know. He said, let me get myself together. Mm-hmm. So I thought he had gotten himself together, but he's still conjuring.
Mm-hmm.
The Conjuring. He that movie, The Conjuring.
I'm every wizard you've ever met.
I say that about you all the time. I say that about you all the time. Put it in my vows.
Yeah. You know, whenever Naomi's introducing me to someone at some kind of industry party, she's like, oh, this is my husband, Andy. He's every wizard you've ever met.
He's a writer. He's a comedian. He's every wizard you've ever met. Uh-huh.
And then people just stare.
Yep. And then it's on you to pick up that ball. Uh-huh. Put it back in the air, Andy.
They just stare and they're just like, how can we just turn this into AI so we don't have to pay either of you? What kind of like fun would those parties be? If it was just a bunch of business people and then a bunch of tech nerds who are just like, I just build this AI by plagiarizing a bunch of other writers.
Well, here's the other way you say money. They don't have parties ever again. I mean, none of these people are interesting. You saw that clip, not clip, that excerpt from the Zaslav interview where he was like watching Fleabag with a bunch of other rich weirdos. And he was like, we can only keep watching if everyone agrees to turn their head forward and not look at anyone else. And it's like, okay, are you trying to hide your erection?
And like, they had to stop. Like there was a sex scene and they refused to watch. He didn't want to watch. I think he said,
no, we can, is everyone okay? We can only do this if everyone looks forward and no one looks at anyone else.
Yeah. What a fucking
Which
freak.
Is me, someone who's like, okay, you have a giant erection. Probably not giant, you guys, but. And he's like, no one look at anyone else. We can only watch him, but no one looks at anyone else.
A healthy erection.
God. And so.
But what a fucking freak.
So, I mean, I'm like, I don't think this person is out here, you know, dazzling at parties.
I don't.
You know?
I'm not excited to watch sex scenes with other people. But like I'm not just like, hey, there's a revival of Last Tango in Paris. I don't like, text my buds and be like, let's go watch it. But. I'm not going to, like, freak out if, like, there's one on in a movie.
Yeah, I know. You're a regular person. Why are you, like, making such a big thing about saying because how me, you're not that person?
Me, as a sex-neutral person, even I, like, Zaslav is such
is.
A,
it's
like...
It's clear now. It's clear now.
It's such a level past that into, like, weirdness.
Yeah.
That, like, can't publicly handle watching a sex scene in a TV show.
Right, with other people. But then it was... So I'm like, but if you could have... Like, if that's his vibe, just, like, watching TV... No one wants to talk to him at a party.
Yeah.
So they'll all be over, okay? If it's all AI, there are no parties. They just feed the robots coins.
Yeah. Well, this is the thing. On my picket sign yesterday, we were picketing Paramount. I just wrote, rich people are weird freaks. Because if you, like, the other thing is, like, this always marveled me. But Elon Musk, I remember at one point, like, made a video in his kitchen. And the kitchen was so disgustingly plain. It was just like... I don't know. If I had wealth beyond imagination and my kitchen looked like worse than my parents' middle-class kitchen growing up, like, what kind of life is that? Wouldn't you have, like, a lavish, just, like, perfectly appointed kitchen? Wouldn't you have, like, architecture? Like if I had billions of dollars, I would hire
you'd
the
have,
finest architects.
You'd have a marble countertop is what you're saying. Because the thing, you're not, Andy, this is, okay, this is you conjuring still. You're not quite there when it comes to utilizing your language to paint a picture. Because a middle-class kitchen can be a nice kitchen.
I said worse.
But you said worse than a middle-class kitchen, but you're making the middle-class kitchen sound like it's bad. It's not that. It was like...
Just plain. My parents were like, it's just like, whatever the contractor, you know, here's your basic, like, kind of like...
But wasn't the Elon Musk kitchen, it was like dark brown and kind of looked like a cave, if memory serves? Wasn't that the vibe where you were like, is this your sex dungeon? Is this where you keep people against their will? Because this can't be the kitchen you use to, like, have an egg in the morning.
It looked like the kitchen in just a model home. It looked like, you know what it looked like in Arrested Development, where they lived, just a basic kitchen with nothing there, really. And it was just the most kind of, like, bare, plain, aesthetically neutral kind of place.
So what you're upset about is that Elon doesn't have style.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
These freaks, they're all freaks. They have no style. They have nothing. Like, what do they even like in life? Just accumulating money.
Yeah, they like accumulating
That's
money.
That's it. Yeah. There's no even, like, it's not even like I'm using the money in order to, like, have a nice lifestyle or, like, have things that are aesthetically pleasant or even, like, finance movies and TV that are aesthetically pleasant. It's all just like life is just goop to them. Like, literally, like, slime. And they're just like,
it's Soylent vibe.
They're just, like, sticking their hands in the slime and then just, like, pushing it in all different directions. And that's existence to them.
Okay. Okay.
They're freaks.
I know you keep screaming they freaks. Maybe it's because I live with you and I hear it all the time. I'm like, uh-huh. Like, I'm just like, uh-huh.
I just think we need to, like, because their myth-making abilities are so profound and I was going to say proficient, but they have so much money.
Right.
They can pay to have the myth of who they want people to think they are promulgated.
Yeah, of
disseminated.
Course. Of course.
Okay.
Right.
And so I think we have to fight it at every avenue. And
sure,
say, no,
sure.
they are not geniuses. They're a bunch of weird freaks that had money already.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what Bezos was a lawyer already, and he started Amazon with hundreds of thousands of dollars in loans from his parents. I mean, come on. Come on.
I think our listeners know.
Hi, listeners. How are you?
Hi, guys. Sorry. Andy came in hot first thing in the morning.
Sorry.
By morning, I do mean 2 p.m., okay? Because that's when we really rally in this house.
3 weeks of picketing has left me bereft of any kind of niceties when it comes to these freaks.
Picketing got us crazy in the head, okay? But you know what? You know what? We always say this show is supposed to be a salve, supposed to be a bomb, supposed to be a respite. So... we got to talk about the show.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a wonderful, wonderful episode for you. I mean, my God, magical. Really quickly, if you're listening to this at the beginning of the day, maybe you're even getting this late Monday night. When you live in LA, this is your last chance to see me perform at the Alesia Theater, okay? Last chance, babies. Tuesday, tonight, 7:30 p.m., I'm going to have Deborah DiGiovanni and Nico Santos.
Oh, wow.
Okay? Superstore, and Guardians of the Galaxy 3's very own Nico Santos. Yes, I was supposed to have Deborah last week, and then she was like, I'm sick. And then she was like, I'm sick. I really wanted to do the show, though. I go, no, I can't have requiring everybody to have masks, and you up here sick as hell. I said, why don't you rest, and we could see you next week, Deborah. Who knows? Then Deborah may still be sick. I'm going to find somebody else. This is just how the show go, okay? We have fun regardless. Lineups are subject to change.
Except for you.
But except for me. And it's a fun, fun time. So you can get your ticket. I have it in my link tree. It'll be in the show notes. You can show up at the door. 7:30 show, over by 9. I say in bed by 10. That's the rallying cry. All right? So come through. This is the last one. I open it for a little bit, and I do about 30 to 40 at the end. So we have a lovely time. We've been having fun. It's been good. It's been a nice way to get out of the house. Yes, I have the air purifier on stage. And so far, it's been a wonderful collection of masked, funny, kind audience members. And that's what we love.
Now, Naomi, we got an email. I just want to read this very quickly. Hi, Andy and Naomi. I love the pod. Best theme song ever.
Okay, now. Samus.
Okay, but that's not the point of this email. I just want to say thank you to Naomi for requiring masks for her show, and in general for both of you continuing to acknowledge the continuing pandemic. Wow. I'm immune compromised and have felt so isolated. They say they wrote about it for Truth Out. And as you know, mask requirements are such a simple and free way to protect all of us. Mm-hmm. I know people get pushback, so I just want to say thank you.
Thank you, baby. That is very, very appreciated. I really appreciate that feedback. You know, so far no one's had attitude, but it is nice to know that people do feel an appreciable difference and a sense of safety, because that is what I would like to provide, if nothing else. If you come out to see me, that's what I said in the beginning. I go, I ain't funny enough to risk long COVID. I can't have you come to this show and then, what, you want to look back in a year and be like, oh yeah, that comedy night, that means I can no longer climb stairs. I ain't worth it.
So no one is. Say, No one.
I want you.
If Richard Pryor came back from the dead for one night.
N95, bitch.
N95.
Okay. So I'm so glad to hear this. So I appreciate it. And everybody who's been coming and wearing a mask and not causing no trouble, I appreciate it too.
By the way, speaking of appreciation, can I just say, everyone who's joined the Patreon, everyone who has continued to support us on Patreon for the last couple years, but especially now during the strike, I really appreciate you all.
I appreciate you too. Don't say like I don't appreciate them too. We appreciate you.
We appreciate you.
Mabel appreciates you. Prembly and his internist appreciates you. Squeed, our only healthy animal in the house, appreciates you.
Yes, Prem's internist who gets paid a quarter of a couch every couple weeks.
Oh my God. Last time Andy came back from the internist, he had a tote bag. And I said, what is this? You spend $5,000, you get a tote eventually? You got a branded tote from the internist after all this time?
Branded tote that cost them like, what, 89 cents?
Exactly. Filled with medications.
But no, as this drags on, and now third week, and we're probably looking at the rest of the summer at the very least.
And I just put in my strike authorization vote for SAG.
So
I said, strike girl summer. I said, I gotta find a new shoe, though. Something, because I noticed my lower back. I'm waking up and that lower back is going hard. Look, we have a lot more to talk about. Join us on the page, because we appreciate you joining the page, but we are actually going to record a page where we get into a lot of this stuff and we peel back the sick curtain of the biz even more, because it does seem like what is coming out of this, if nothing else yet, is suddenly not only are people in the business being open with each other about what they have lost or gained in this process, but people outside of the business are starting to see, oh, just because somebody on TV don't make them rich. Just because somebody wrote on this thing don't mean they set. And I personally appreciate that. I love talking about money. I'm rude as hell. But the whole, so I'm like, let me tell you what it's really like, and I will be breaking some things down.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Patreon.com/couples therapy pod. Join us there, please.
Join us. We peel back the curtain. We talk shit. I let Andy ramble a lot more and yell about sick freaks. But you know what? You know who's not a sick freak?
Oh, you know who's the absolute, complete opposite?
A healthy baddie. Okay? A healthy baddie. You have already heard her dulcet tones. We have the one, the only, the iconic Michelle Buteau.
Oh, my God,
finally,
yes.
Baby. Now, you know her from so much, okay? You know her from her special on Netflix, from First Wives Club, from The Circle, from Always Be My Maybe. She co-hosts the podcast Adulting with comedian Jordan Carlos. Episodes drop every Wednesday. She also wrote the book Survival of the Thickest, and soon you can see that book come to life as a TV show on Netflix, and she is the star, okay? Authoress, actress, hostess. She does it all. So without further ado,
roll it. Michelle, we're here to do a searing look at your dating history before Hyatt's. We're going to, every single person, we are going to put on read. I don't know what that means.
I don't know either. And I was also like, every single person.
I was like, you don't know. You ain't got no receipts. And who is Hyatt's? It's Hyatt's. Oh, no.
What? We've been saying it wrong
We've been saying it wrong all this time.
Hyatt's.
Heist. Oh, yeah, that's it. Heist. Sorry.
Heist.
Sorry.
Not heist is what you're saying. Take away that second syllable.
Let me stop. Heist. Let me Yes, it's your world.
Heist.
But
Heist Cube. Sorry.
Now,
yes.
You have been married how long?
Oh, I'm bad at math. 13 years.
Wow. Okay, so married is a lot. But y'all, now, something that I remember very distinctly in my head. This would have been years and years ago when you did Andy's podcast Beginnings and you came to the house in Harlem. And one of the things you had talked about, which, you know, of course,
did you listen to that episode?
Well, naturally. You know, you talked about like trusting your gut and like when you know something and like one of the moments you, like one of those moments where you like, trusted your gut and were like, oh, I'm going all in on this person was when you met your now husband.
Yeah.
But can we talk about what it means to learn to trust your gut? What's happening? I mean, was it just that your parents told you you were enough, and so you had a healthy self-esteem so that you knew when your inner compass was right?
No, you know, parents, I'm realizing in therapy and now being a parent, are just people doing the best that they can with whatever circumstance they have been given or generation they've been raised in. But it's weird because when it came to like very basic things like sex or like how to eat. Like, don't tell me how to eat healthy. Teach me how to eat junk food. You know what I mean? Like, because I'm going off to college and I'm just like, I'm a hoe that's getting fat. Like, you gotta teach me how to do stuff. But like, when it came to, you know, walking down a street, you know, New York City or Jersey, right? Or like being in a room full of people I don't feel comfortable with, like, they would always like tell me about my gut or my instinct. You know, if a friend is doing something wrong, then, and you feel like it's wrong and you don't want to, oh my God, my fake plant, you guys, I just can't.
Wait, and you Michelle, Michelle just adjusted her screen so we couldn't see a fake plant. I didn't even know it was fake.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's a fake plant. I'm so glad that you didn't know. I really just gave all my secrets away. Come on now. Come on now. Paula Hollywood would never, but yeah, I mean, when you grow up just learning how to be this docile, polite, don't rock the boat kind of bitch, you're not really allowed to trust your gut, for better or for worse. So I'm just like, why is it always just like a stranger danger situation? Why can't it be to like trust your gut when it's a career path that you really, you know, want to follow or a person that you really want to be with against all odds, right? Because like, my then boyfriend at the time, now husband, we couldn't afford to see each other. I was living on the Upper West Side, but I was Baroque. I couldn't even date somebody like in Brooklyn. I'm like, how are we going to see each other? So like Amsterdam, Holland, I'm like, I don't even know how to work my way around this. I could barely get fresh mangoes. It's always dried mangoes. So,
Trader Joe's dried mangoes.
Yum, bitch. But all I knew was I didn't want to see anybody else. I just didn't want to talk to anybody else. And that was like the one thing I knew. Like, I had talked to enough people. I've had enough dates, like Julia Roberts and Runaway Bride. Like, I knew how I like my eggs. Like, I did the research, so I was like, who am I going to eat these eggs with?
It's funny that you said that, you know, you have this, like, stranger danger thing. I have a everyone's danger thing, friend or foe,
yeah,
or stranger, or I guess Naomi's the only one that doesn't set off the
that's really
the danger,
true.
The old both, spidey senses.
We're very fear-based people, and I'm really trying to work on us not doing that to each other. Like, it's hard to both support somebody and say, like, I understand what you're feeling. You know what I mean? Without being like, you also can't be afraid all the time.
Yeah. Like, without adding their fears to your list of fears.
Yeah, I get it. But the good part about that is that you guys understand where the anxiety is coming from, so you can be patient and have grace in a way that, you know, somebody else probably couldn't. You know, when my husband and I go on vacation, he is a risk taker. He definitely does activities and walks down the street like the government has taken care of him his whole life. And it has. And it has. You know, he'll just get in a boat and figure it out. I'm like, life of pie, bitch. No. Who gonna be the tiger? No, no. So, like, you know, I really want to get my hair wet, let alone, like, go out past the little buoyant right, thing, the right. little buoy thing. I'm not going to do that. So,
yeah,
like,
we buy.
We buy. Yes, Andy. Very proud of you. I love what Michelle brings out in you.
Andy. I love it too. But yeah, I mean, it's really hard for him to understand why I have fear, because I'm like so brave in other ways. But I think it's like really special and unique that you guys would understand where the other person's coming from.
Well, we try to be special and unique, you know, but it's hard. It's hard. Now, I'm interested in, is there anything, because again, you have been together 13 years.
You were really getting your interviewer on there.
Well, listen, I have so many questions for Michelle Buteau. I've got her for an hour. I gotta get them all in. This one, when I tell you, y'all, Michelle came to our wedding. When I tell you, Michelle had the Rolly suitcase with her and said, I gotta catch a flight. Okay.
What's up, fucking around? Look, I can't leave these kids too long. You know what I mean? It's like I got a whole ass family to take care of. Two kids and two dogs. Like, what the fuck was that? I never wanted to live on a farm, but here I am. And so I was like, I want to make it because I support and believe in y'all's love, as everyone else did at the wedding. And then some, because it was really the best part about your wedding, many parts, was definitely at the end where people were just like trying to do like a plus two and a plus three. I said, this wedding is so good that we got to invite more people. I didn't even know it was open like that. It was like, it was not
open like that, Michelle. And that was
it was amazing. It wasn't, it was almost giving people trying to sneak into Coachella. Like,
yeah,
I want to come too. I want to come too. What was I going to say? Yeah, that's how I roll. I'm literally with my bag. I'm going to show up, do the hours, and then catch the overnight flight back. But I'm going to try not to miss it.
I know. And we were so grateful.
Wait, can I go back to your ins before you go to your 60 minutes list of questions?
Okay. Okay.
I just want to go back to the gut instinct thing, because I, you know, it takes a long time to develop that. Our version of you, Michelle, is that you have always been an extremely confident person. That's my version in my head of you. Mm-hmm. That I take your stage persona and I just like wind that through your life in my head.
Well, because she is one of those comics where she is herself on stage, yes, right? There's some people where you're like, oh wow, you actually might be wearing two faces, and I'm terrified.
Oh yeah, we have plenty of those people out here.
Right? Oh, like, yes, yes. Yeah. We know a lot of wolves in sheep's clothing, but yes.
Yeah, they walk off the stage and the mask falls away and you see like maggots and like
I do love a visual. This is a podcast. Let's use our imagination. Yeah, I mean, it sounds so corny, but being me, my truest self, really feeds my soul in a way that nothing else really does. I can sleep better at night. I have more fun. And, you know, everything my parents told me to do growing up, but like in their box, I've just applied to my life, but in a bigger box. Like, treat others how you want to be treated. It's not what you say, it's how you say it. Tell the truth. So I'm doing all those things. And a lot of times they don't like what I'm saying, but it's my truth. And here the fuck we are. Was I always this confident? No. But I was always like happy, you know, like I always loved to dance. I always like felt like I was pretty. It was like everybody else letting me know that I'm not pretty or I'm not fuckable by like some patriarchal standard that is like fucking impossible to get to. So I'm just like,
burn it down.
Why? Burn it down and build it back up again, because that's the only place we can really fucking live and see each other. So I'm just like, it doesn't have to be black and white. There's a lot of shades of gray in between. And that's where the real humanity and love comes in. Yeah. And the more people can, not to go off on like AOC, like in a fucking Oprah's book club, but the more we can love ourselves, the more we can like truly love other people and be way more compassionate in a way where we can like think about people that don't look like us. Because that's the real fucking problem. People don't understand trans. They don't understand non-binary. They don't understand what it's like to be big or fat or even love yourself. They don't understand sex positive. They don't understand any of that shit. Interracial. Whatever the fuck it is. And so it's like, because it's not all about you, bitch. Because it's not all about you. So was I always this confident? I think secretly deep down inside, yes. But I was not giving the license to be so. And stand-up really saved me in a way that I didn't even know till like 10 years in.
Yeah. I see that. I definitely feel like stand-up lately for me, or not even lately. I would say kind of once I figured out how I was best received on stage, because I think those are different things, right? What you say. But I was like, oh, it's where I get to put all my rage. Like, I get to get up and yell. And then, quite honestly, I do feel a bit better. I feel a bit lighter after I've yelled for a while.
Yes. And it's, there's nothing better than seeing a beautiful black woman with opinions be fucking hilarious and then also give people the truth. It really is sneaking in the vegetables, and that's what I love about your stand-up.
Oh my God, did you hear that, Indy? Compliment. Clip it out. Compliment. From Hold it. What I was interested in, like one of my questions is something, you know, Michelle, you guys, has beautiful twins, all right? Twins that are just, oh my God, out of a magazine, Gorgina. It helps. When I say out of a magazine, it helps
this
because
her husband's
a whole. Oh my God. Oh,
and this is the other.
It helps that your husband's a photographer because he's also really capturing these vibes. He's like giving model vibes, you know, when they're just being children in the house. And I'm like, stunning. but you have managed to, it seems, right? Like, quote unquote, this whole notion, which is so funny, right? We also about having it all, doing it all. But it seems like you have been able to not just work, but continue to like rise in your career while having your kids. And I guess I'm curious as to like, is there something that you learned about yourself or something you didn't see coming once you became a parent? You know what I mean? There's like what you think parenthood's going to be. And then you get these little babies and now it's a different game. Is there anything?
Yeah. I mean, it sounds really stupid, but I didn't know it'd be like an all day, all night thing. I thought they were like, I really didn't know. I thought they like sleep and then you rest and they still need you or shit can still go on. And then even when they're at daycare, you're like, I'm free. And you're not, because something could go down and then they call you. You're like, oh fuck. And so I didn't realize how hands on you'd really have to be in a way, because I really don't remember my parents being that hands on like at all. Like I remember just being bored sometimes and just like having to figure it out a lot of times. And so, you know, I wish I had a better memory. I don't really remember what they did in their mind. They were probably exhausted too, even though I was very self-sufficient, but like even then it's wild. So that's one part. And I also like didn't realize how amazing I was, to be honest. Like, the shit I can do in a day, that saying is so real. If you want something done, give it to a busy person, because, honey. And then I have to be realistic with, you know, what I can do in a day. So if I can do it, I'm gonna let you know I can do it. If I can't, I'm gonna say I can. If I'm try, I'm gonna let you know I'm gonna try. But like before, I'd be like, we'll see, you know, and then like let people know the day over the day before. But now I'm just like, hard ass no. It's a hard ass no, you know?
I have a lot of problems with the hard ass no. I have a lot of, like, I spend a lot of energy. Someone writing me, you know, about beginnings and being like a publicist being like, what about this person? And I sit there, I just leave it in my inbox for like weeks.
Days. Yeah.
No, sometimes weeks where I'm just like, I don't have the energy just to say like, I don't like whatever. It just doesn't resonate with me. It's not like the person's bad or anything. It's just
right.
Like,
of course.
Whatever the thing is, doesn't resonate. And
that's so funny you say that, because when I think of you, I think of definitely a hustler, like a creative hustler. So like, if it matters to you, you do it. If it doesn't, it doesn't. And that's important too.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah. But then people are just like, hey, why didn't he answer me back?
But I'm that same way too, like in a way like where I'm like saying when I want to do it, the yes is immediate.
Yep.
When I don't, the no is going to take a while. And so a lot of me is like, if you don't hear from me, it's because I'm trying to figure out how to tell you no. You should take the hint.
Yeah. It's part of adulting that Jordan and I have realized that, like, you know, it'd be nice. It's polite to, you know, to give them an answer.
I know.
Because we would want to answer. Yes. You know what I mean? So it's like learning that balance of just like, thank you so much, but also no thank you. And people really appreciate it. And then they can move on and not fucking tell you. Like a lot of my friends that want to just like ghost people that they've been on like 3 bad dates with, I'm like, if it's 3 bad dates, they're probably following each other on Instagram. It's just like, you know, put your big girl panties on and just say it's not going to work out. Instead of just like leaving people to wonder, you know, I think it's better for everybody involved. If they can't understand the word no, yuck, block.
I'm going to create a series of animal pictures, very cute animal pictures.
Okay.
And there's just going to be text over it that says no thanks. And then you just send those, no matter if you don't want to date someone, you don't want someone, like, whatever it is,
like,
right?
Someone's like, you want to come to my birthday party and 9 hours away?
Yeah.
No thanks, with a little sloth.
You send a script to a director, and they don't want to do it. They send you this gift. It's a little duck.
Yep, saying little duckling, no thanks.
Says no thanks. And you're just like, oh, you know what? That's okay.
That's sweet.
Come on, Shark Tank. Let's go. Come on, Shark Tank. Let's go.
Yeah, these are also NFTs, by the way. Do you have more 60 minutes questions?
It's two pronged. Cause like, look, we're going to answer people's questions, obviously, but I'm trying to get people some of the backstory. But again, people, you know, if you know Michelle's comedy, like, you know, some of this stuff. So I'm trying to be like, okay, what's below the surface, right? Because I'm just curious. Cause it's just me being nosy. What are we doing to keep our love spicy?
What?
I don't mean sexually. I just mean like, once you have, look, 2 children, twins are a lot.
2 dogs, 2 children.
A farm, okay? We bought a zoo, okay? Michelle Patel bought a zoo, and she be working all the time. I said, how you keeping it fresh? How you keeping it spice?
I mean, the good part, this is a level of just comfortability that I never thought I'd get to, which is really nice, where I could actually say I'm really tired and spent, and just sitting in silence together is fucking gorgeous. That you don't feel like you have to be anything other than what and who you are. But you know, she is a planner and an organizer, and we only get the one life, so let's go. And things that fit into your schedule, right? So like, date nights are okay, but you know, we're so tired by the end of the day because we wake up early because we live on a farm, and it's just like us being tired, yawning over like an overpriced risotto. and then we have to pay a babysitter, and it just seems like a very expensive night. So our little hack, and Jordan and his wife do this too, is go out on day dates, like just have lunch, mm-hmm. have a nice glass of wine at lunch, actually finish a sentence in conversation. The one rule is, let's not talk about responsibility and what we have to do around the house. You know, much like in the bedroom, I liken it to like being at the gym. If you don't feel comfortable or like sexy or fit, just buy something new. Buy something that actually fits. Don't wait for your body to fit into something, because you're a prisoner of your own device, right? So like, fucking get, there's like, we are so, the fashion industry has all of a sudden deemed us worthy of being broke to spend our fucking money on their clothes and shit. So you can just go to Target and get something sexy for the bedroom or the gym and feel a lot better. I'm a comedian, so I like things in threes. I kind of like what you guys do, right? Like, let's say there's a couples therapy podcast, but like just with the two of y'all, you know, like never underestimate just talking to your partner, because that's what you love about them. That's why you fell in love with them in the first place, you know?
Yeah.
I will say that. You that's like
their stories. Yeah. Laugh.
That's true. Yeah. I also like the idea of a day date, because it is funny, because I, even as we work together, I realize I have a limited energy reserves, and I kind of like start the day strong and then dip. And by the time like it's dark out, I said I've given up. And so yeah. Whereas Andy's someone who, like, I feel like he doesn't get cranking until 4 p.m. Like, he's like up ready.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm not my best self until about 10 p.m. 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Oh, man. That's when you want to hang out with Andy.
No, you need to go to Australia with that shit and just, like, have a whole ass day in the morning. That's crazy.
Oh, my God. What if I'm in the wrong hemisphere? What if that is the problem?
That's been the problem.
What if that's been the problem with my entire life? Wrong fucking hemisphere.
Oh, God. That would explain so much.
We go to Sydney and, like, 2 weeks later, I'm the mayor.
Yes. Yes.
What the fuck happened to him?
I know.
He's more charming.
I would love a date, but, like, I like a day date. I'm always like, but the thing is, I don't like crowds, right? So I'm like, we don't have to go to brunch on a Saturday, Sunday. Let's do it on like Tuesday. Like, I like when it's, like, not crowded and I can have some French toast. You know?
Yes. I don't mind a crowd, but I don't want it to feel crowded, right? So just space us out. Don't put us all in the one section so this one bitch is overwhelmed and keeps forgetting my jam. That is not my jam. So just, like, spread it the fuck out.
Yes. Yes, yes.
Wait, Michelle, when do you think you got your life together? Like, when do you think it all kind of coalesced? I'm kind of curious about that.
That's true. Michelle's been a property owner for years. So to me, I thought she had it together.
No, I mean, like, look, that's subjective because you can get it together for yourself at 25 and that's different than 31. And so...
I mean, I didn't.
Not at 25 or 31 is what you're saying.
Yeah,
probably,
yeah. Yeah, I mean...
It started around 31.
It also helps having, you know, I hate to be like immigrant parents, but like... Mom from Jamaica, dad from Haiti. They're like, this government ain't going to take care of you. Take care of yourself. So she never had the birds and the bees conversation with me, but she did teach me how to balance a checkbook. Because she's like, fuck that tampon. We need to, like, figure out how to balance the shit and carry the one. And so, yeah, I mean, I love to work if I love what I'm doing. And so I started making money and she's like, please stop going to Zara and paying for dinners and buying rounds. Like, invest in something, and it's like the best thing she ever taught me how to do, really. So, I mean, and not to be this bitch, but I'm like, generational wealth creates generational health, and here we are. No matter where you go, it's like, the one thing that makes me so sad is, like, whether it's owning property or being somewhere in your career that you've always wanted to be, or like even finding love, like, when I meet people who just are like, it's too hard, it'll never happen for me. That makes me so fucking sad because I always say, please don't tell yourself no before someone else has told you no. And if they do tell you no, fucking get comfortable with rejection, because when you get to the other side of wherever you want to be, it's going to be so much sweeter and you're just going to have, like, a better understanding and appreciate it a lot more and know how to navigate it better. So please just, like, understand that rejection for any chapter of life is a part of it. And, yeah, you'll always make it to the other side. And Don Will, DJ Don Will, who's amazing. He's on our show and he does Butterboy too. He said something really profound the other day on the show. He was like, it's just thoughts. Like, they're just, thoughts are fleeting. You know, we were talking about suicide actually. And he's like, if you really, sorry, this took a turn, but like,
I'm with you.
You know, if you really are trying to figure out how to manage where your mind goes, just understand that I'll always come back to where you started. You know, they're just thoughts. So, I don't know. I hope anyone listening to this, I hope it helps them in any way, you know, like whatever they want to do. I mean, people are just like, I've always wanted to have a dog, but that's overwhelming. I don't think I can. I'm like, you absolutely can. I don't know who told you you couldn't. That person couldn't. Mm-hmm. But you probably could, like, at least try.
What if it was like a bunch of different shelters that were like, we're not giving you a dog, your life is a mess?
I mean,
well, then you have to look within within and make some adjustments.
Yes,
you know.
Yeah. Are you trying to tell me something?
But wait, Michelle, what age was that for you when it when you were like, when you figured this stuff out, like, where
you
were
really,
you really
want to buy the book? You want the key.
You can buy the book. Survival of Plus Size Essays in a Small-Minded World. You can buy the book. Look, I have so many. there really isn't one age. It's like deciding to choose for yourself, like at any and every age. You know, like at 23, I decided to move out of my mom's house. That was a big deal. At 24, I decided to do stand-up but also work. That was a big deal. At 30, I decided I'm going to see this guy. I don't know how to see him, but I'm going to. That was a big deal. At 36, I started to try to have kids, and that was like a wild fuck nut of a journey. That was like, so, you know, that's the thing about life. Like, you never stop evolving. And if you do, then you probably live in Staten Island.
Hear that, Colin Jost?
You hear that, Scar Joe?
Were you fed, by the time you met Chais, were you fed up with dating? Like, were you like, whoa?
Well, yeah, she said, I know how I like my eggs. She said, I want to do this shit no more.
But like, was there like a particularly bad, like, was there a shithead you had dated where you're like, this sucks? Or was it just like a bunch of like dull bastards?
I mean, I think it's like all of that. I think it's good and bad and crazy and funny. I think it, like, nothing really aligned. There were people that I liked more than they liked me. There were people that liked me than I liked, you know, than more than I liked them. And there were people that are just like fucking shitheads. And there were people who definitely was giving Friday Night Lights, like, oh no, like, this is the best you had at 17 and you're still like laces out Pet Detective talking about the one time you had in high school that was like fucking good. You know, there is also the people who you could tell needed 3 to 5 years to really blossom, but who got that motherfucking time? Not me. Thank you, Mother Nature and Father Time. So I'm just like, well, what's it going to be? But like, the most important thing for me, at least, was just to like go fuck around and find out. You know, I was very serious when I was younger. I was very religious, very Catholic. Had a Muslim boyfriend in high school. He cheated on me. I'm like, okay.
Right. Him cheating when it's like, you must be a pious good woman. It's like, meanwhile, you out here cheat.
I know. I was like, that's fucked. With my best friend, no less. Fuck her.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, she hit me up on Facebook after she saw me on Last Coming Standing in 2006. She's like, how you doing? I'm like, still trying to trust people. Bye. bitch. I hate you. But please, double tap my fucking success. yeah, college boyfriend cheated on me. So I was like, This is shit that can happen to you, but like, how do you fucking move on and still like believe in people? It's like fucking wild. And it really is just finding that one person that you want to spend time with. And I didn't know anything about Chais. All I knew is that I just wanted to talk to him the next day. That's it. Start small. Keep it easy for yourself.
Well, this was my other question, which I always think, to me, there's something about your relationship that feels almost, what's the word? Not storybook, but this idea, right? Because you've said this, I remember you saying, like, his English was limited when you guys first met.
Yes.
So what I get from that is this idea of, like, it was just a natural chemistry. We were beyond words, you know, right? Like, it was like, even if y'all couldn't get in deep yet, at least to start,
yeah,
there was something about this person. You know what I mean? Like, we're even without that. And then over time, is that you then turned him into a black woman with his vocabulary. He could speak to you, yeah, sister to sister.
Sister,
never knew how much I missed ya. So if, you know, but you said, like, I just knew I wanted to talk to him the next day. When y'all first met, how long had y'all hung out before he was going back home?
Just the night.
Just the one night? Mm-hmm. I thought it was like a week long, you know, like flowers in a field.
No, it was drinking and fucking.
And you said, I gotta see him again.
Yeah, because it was definitely like those moments in between that were like really sweet and dumb and funny. Like, we were at a bar and I went to go use the bathroom. And I want to say he made sure nobody was in the bathroom because I was drying my hands after, and he came in and like started dancing and then like danced out. And I'm like, what the fuck was that? Like, I don't even know what the fuck that was. He just thought it was like funny. I'm like, it was funny, but I'm confused. Yeah. And just things like that. And now I realize, especially like at family dinners, like, oh, everybody is from another country except for me. Well, Jersey is a country. And so there's always this thing of like, figure out the verbs that everybody understands and then like definitely express yourself in a way that's like clear and honest. And that is really important, like, even if y'all speak the same language.
Yeah. Yeah. Being clear and honest. Yeah. No matter what the language. Write that down, okay? Michelle's giving us gems today, people. Write it all down.
Yeah, it's the Diamond District, bitch. I'm giving you all fucking gems. Ghetto Diamond in the Sky. Let's go.
Do you want the transcript for this? This is going to be your second book?
Fuck no. No more books for me. Fuck that. That was so fucking hard. I can barely even finish reading a book, let alone write one. What the fuck was I thinking? I'm so glad the right people saw it and like fucking optioned it and turned it into a fucking TV show, because I'm never doing that shit again. Can you imagine people are just writing a book so it gets on a fucking list? Who gives a fuck about your list? I just want a fucking, I want a bigger vocabulary. I didn't realize how limited my vocabulary was. That was like that episode of Friends and Joey just like, with Joey just like fucking going to like the thesaurus trying to figure out what other words are. Anyways, buy my book, Survival of the Thickest, Plus Size Essays in a Small-Minded World.
And watch the show. And the show and is watch coming the show. To us soon. The show is coming to us soon, you guys.
Mere months away.
And didn't you have your kids make a cameo, an on-set cameo, like an on-camera cameo?
Oh, I tried. You know, my character moves to a new neighborhood, and I tried to have like my husband walk by with the kids in the storm and make like a joke about him. Like, damn, these dilfs are okay. But it was so wild. I felt like I was like almost torturing my kids, because we had to do it like 6 times. And by the third time, they're like, Mama, look at me, Mama. And I'm just ignoring them. I'm like, I can't do this anymore, you guys. Like, Otis, like, pooped his pants. He was just like, I don't know how to feel. I'm like, I would poop my pants too, but I'm so sorry. Go home and have some ice cream. It was real. Like, I don't know how kids, I don't know how moms do it. Like, yeah. Just yeah. Have these yeah. little kids that know how to act. I'm like, that's right. Like, what are you doing?
But also you're right. Cause they have to act like they don't know you. And literally all they know is you. So yes. It's like they're in a
especially strange- in public. I'm like, stay next to me. Stay next. Like, if you're not holding my hand, touch my hand.
Yeah, mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But they're in SAG now. And they've said some very, very, I would say, truthful but disparaging things against Fran Drescher for her weaselly comments about the WGA strike.
That's true. Hazel and Otis said, we do not stand with her. We do not
that
stand
is so funny.
Her.
People in Holland think I sound like her.
What?
What? No.
So, just even bringing, like, she's lovely. Even bringing up the nanny just... First of all, don't tell a Caribbean American that she looks like the nanny. That's not that's not okay. So and don't tell her she sounds like one. That's not okay.
That's wild. Do you sound like maybe perhaps the Dutch dubbing of the nanny? Because I can't.
Oh yeah, maybe they just dubbing they maybe because... they just dubbed her.
Because you could not.
How dare you make it make sense? Okay, how fucking dare you make it make sense?
It's so wild. I have to think there's some Dutch actress dubbing Fran Drescher doing something wild.
Oh my god,
I can't imagine.
Bitch, get off my lawn.
That actually seems like a nice place to take a break. When we get back, we're going to answer your advice question.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself
and for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
A lot can happen in 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare tri-term medical plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
And we're back! back here with Michelle Buteau, here to help you handle your scandal, honey. Okay, Michelle got 12 jobs. She fit us in. We got a hard out at 12 p.m., okay? So, Michelle, these people.
Oh, my God. Can I just tell you, Steve Harvey would be so happy with what's going on over here. Y'all are doing it. I mean, y'all need to be hosting Family Feud or some shit.
Okay, that would
There's
be...
got to be like a newlywed, interracial newlywed game, and you guys are the host, period. All right, I said it. Thank you so much. Okay, God, I can't stop coming up with ideas. It's so annoying.
From your mouth to David Zaslav's gold-encrusted ears.
If I had a dollar.
But you see, when Michelle Buteau says things, they do manifest. So we all have to hold this, okay? And now this is recorded media. Michelle Buteau, EP, Michelle, but you just come by and just sign off, okay? You
don't have to do anything. I'm gonna be like one of those EPs that never comes. You know what I mean? I just never show up. Yes.
Yeah. Put in the college fund.
That's right.
So we get advice questions from all over, from Instagram, Twitter, Gmail, voicemail. Mm-hmm. Of course, our favorite 323-524-7839 is that number. This first one. I thought you and Chais were long distance, so at first.
We were 2 years.
Yeah. So this is a question about long distance relationships.
Oh, boy.
On WPTS 92.1 FM, The Storm.
Hi, Naomi and Andy. Thanks for taking my call. I could use your advice. I actually called in a while ago, maybe over like a year ago, and you answered my question, which is crazy, on Jeff Hiller's episode, I think. It was about how to get over basically like a relationship that wasn't that big of a deal, but was still kind of weighing on me. And you had really great advice, which was just to go through it, and accept it. And I did that. And like a month later, one of my best friends actually revealed that they have a crush on me, and we have been dating and long distance for about a year now. I really love her, and we're having a great time, honestly. We just had an incredible Valentine's Day weekend and stuff. The issue is just that I am sad when we're not together. I would love to be in the same place, but, you know, currently we're in different cities, same state, but different cities, and it's a couple, maybe like a 6 hour journey or a couple hour plane ride. Anyways, I'm trying to deal with that. I feel like we're both kind of in a zone where we're trying to center ourselves and focus on things, but you know, it's like the first time in my life I've been in love, and I would love to just kind of share that intimacy and that feeling and stuff a little bit more. I don't know if either of us are in a position to move at this point, so I was just wondering if you had any advice on what could make that feel better and how to deal with long distance in general. I love the podcast, and thank you so much for all of your help and being so cool and being so funny. I'm a big fan of both of yours, and yeah, you're the best. Bye.
Aww, look at this lovely, first
That's
of all.
So awesome.
I know. We love a repeat caller, first of all. And, I mean, Michelle, you know about this life.
I do. I know about it very well.
Talk to us, honey. Would you feel that way, too? You know, that sadness, you know, especially in the early days of a relationship when you're like, I love you. And then, like, to not be around. How did you deal?
Oh, gosh. Saying goodbye when you're, like, very in love with someone and you guys don't live in the same place feels, this is very dramatic, but I've had people in my life die before, and it's that feeling. It's like a part of you is missing, and you're like, how can I ever get back to it again? And also, everything is heightened. The love, the fights, the miscommunication, like everything is just heightened because you don't have that, like that day to day, situation like everybody else would have, right? And so we made some rules. We didn't go for more than 6 weeks without seeing each other. Cause I know some people like go 3 months. I'm like, that's a whole ass season. That's a no. So, and also he sold his car the first time he came back so he could stay here for like almost 2 months. And then I went to go visit him for the summer for 3 months. So I think doing that 1 month, 2 month stint really gives you a good idea of what it's like to play house. And I think at the end of that, if you guys still feel like just even more deeper in love than you ever felt before, then you really have to sit down and figure out who's going to move, because that's the next step.
Right. But they can't
also,
do that yet. But they can't do that yet.
I get that. But congratulations. You found somebody that you love. So figure it out.
Yeah. No, I like that. Can one of you work remotely for a week or something like that?
And
or
make take it a longer vacation stint. For a week and
make
saying.
A longer stint.
Yeah, figure it out. Because what's better than being in love? When you find that person that wants to make you a better person, you're going to give a fuck about zip codes? No, bigger picture.
Yeah. Yeah. Michelle did it across an ocean.
Yeah, fully across an ocean, changing time zones. Okay. To see a bitch. Okay, that's the depth of that love.
Different language, different culture.
Michelle had to go stay with Dutch people for months at a time.
Windmills. You see a windmill here in the United States anywhere? No.
No, nowhere in the United States.
Not one windmill.
Not one windmill. No, but
outside of Solvang. The fake Dutch town in Northern California.
But I do think it's because this is the other thing they said too, where they're like, you know, we both said we're trying to focus on ourselves and stuff. And it's like, I think it is one of those things, as much as that sounds silly, it's like, you got to keep yourself busy. I think it's like another thing too, where it's like, you know, have your set times that you guys talk or FaceTime, whatever, that's every day, if that's right before bed, whatever it is. But I think it's, I think it also helps the relationship. Because I know, for instance, the closest I came is when Andy, because he got the first writing job, the first Hollywood gig of the two of us, and he moved to LA, and I was in New York. And I was so sad, and I was convinced, too, that I was like, okay, he's gonna surpass me, and this is it. He's going to realize he can do better. And, like, I mean, it just meant so many things, him being away.
Oh, my goodness.
And when I tell you, it was like my ass was sitting shiver. I was in that house doing nothing.
Yeah.
And as you can imagine, the conversations weren't great. Like, when you ain't got nothing to report, when you ain't doing nothing, it also can, it's not helpful. So I think too, it's like as busy as you can be, because it gives you stuff to talk about. It gives you stuff to share. It gives you something to bring to the table when you're not around each other.
That's interesting that you say that, because I've never not been busy. you know what I mean? Like, even if it's just organizing something else or doing something else or just like having an idea and figuring it out, or like, I don't know, like going jogging or seeing people. I don't know what it is, but never not been busy. And then like the great part about that is figuring out how to incorporate this lovely person into your life. Right.
Yeah.
Cause you guys shouldn't be each other's end all be all. You should just like, you know, make it better. But yeah, you gotta pull the plug at some point and say, let's go fucking do this. You just have to. Yeah. You have to see. If it's that good, figure it out.
Yeah.
Your lover has to be smoked paprika. It's gotta enhance the experience.
Smoked.
Okay, Gordon Ramsay, let me know, honey.
They can't be salt. They can't be salt.
You can't be Himalayan sea salt. No.
No. No, you can't.
You can't be regular paprika. Smoked.
Smoked.
I gotta say, since I started eating smoked paprika, everything's better.
Well, let's pop it off that cauliflower. It is popping.
Yeah,
Andy,
it does add an added level of flavor that you can't, you know, necessarily get in like 30 minutes, which I do appreciate. And another tip that I learned, because I'm really trying to cut salt out of my diet, is like finding things that are naturally salty to put in food, like a caper or an olive.
Oh.
Yum, a mom. Or even like a cheese, if you're into cheese, like a salted cheese, bitch.
Adding depth of flavor.
A seaside cheddar. You. Oh, a seaside cheddar. No, I can make it for
you. Or even like a herbed goat. Like, I'm out here. Okay, I'm out here. I woke up with fucking a full belly and one less chin. Why not?
Yeah, I hope that helps you. I know how you feel when you're like, I miss my lover, and it's true. It's like those early days, and especially because too, right? Because what I love too is that it sounds, you know, you said this, we were best friends, so you were already very close to begin with, right? So this does feel like it's a nice foundation, and we want to keep this going. But
if you have to distract yourself, remember you can always, your house always needs a dusting.
Your house always needs a dusting.
It always needs to be organized. Something needs to be organized. A closet.
That's
somewhere.
Right.
Yeah.
Something needs to be organized.
There's at least one friend where you go, I wonder how they're doing. And then you kind of leave it at that in your head. Make the phone call. Get the coffee. Have the conversation. We need to be just keeping, you know, and I think at first it sounds like we're forcing it, where it's like, you have to be busy. But I think once you kind of start doing it, it'll get easier and it'll feel more natural. It won't feel like you're simply distracting yourself. It'll be part of your day to day. And then when you and your boo see each other, you're like, oh my God, let me tell you what she said. Let me tell you what I did. Let me tell you what happened.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah. And also, let's make sure that your happiness is not dependent on someone else loving you.
Mm-hmm.
Because you just jumped out, now you're jumping in. And it's nice that you guys were friends before, but let's just...
Michelle's giving a side eye and a little purse of the lips, okay?
It's wry. It's a wry smile.
Right, a wry smile. Absolutely.
All right, let's do one more. Okay. This one comes to us from Gmail. I don't know if the person said we could use their name, so I'm just going to say anonymous from Gmail. Naomi, do you want to read this one?
Okay, this already, I'm just looking at it, and it's already starting off with a wild sentence. The first sentence is four lines, which that's a long for one sentence. We got to start breaking up, but listen.
You want to come up with a style? I find this to be crazy. You came up with a style guide for Ask Rana questions. Never, a completely different podcast. You've never come up with a style guide for your own podcast.
You know why? You know why though? Because it's like when I'm reading it in person right now, I don't have a problem with like length per se. It's when I'm hearing something really long and I go, "Oh no, this got to stop." You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
And for the most part, this is a little lengthy. We may have to start a style guide. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Wait, can I just say when people like also, they also write questions for our podcast. And when it's so long, I feel like you're not even going to listen to my advice because you're just going to come up with another reason why you want to like still be miserable. And that's why, I don't know, maybe that's why I was an editor. I'm like beginning, middle, end, get to it.
Absolutely. I also, my big
go thing is, on, I'm listening.
But my big thing is also a thesis statement. I need a top line. Let me know what we're getting into.
I need
then
a
you
log.
Can give me a detail. That's a my thing.
You need a TLDR at the top.
Exactly. Very, very much so. But then also too, I think when it's long, you know what it is to me? I'm like, oh, this is what you needed to do. It's not even necessarily an answer as much as you needed.
It's like the draft email you never send. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. But I've got an open mind and open legs, so let's go.
Okay. Last week, while my partner was getting fitted for a Teletubby-like apparatus to measure sleep apnea, I was sat in a hospital waiting room, bored.
You know what? I will take a little bit of scene setting, honestly. And I appreciate the attention to detail. So I'm actually on board.
I decided to do something that I'm not sure I don't regret.
I can't parse that.
Okay.
The day before, my online therapist had acted a little strangely, asking me to explain my pronouns and claiming that I had been very forward with her when asking to respect them. Ooh. I was caught off guard. I recently switched to her after a puzzling experience with a man from Idaho who could not comprehend that I am not from or living in the USA. I chose the new therapist because she had written in her profile that she had expertise with the queer community. Well, anyway, I Googled her with a bit of trepidation, and up popped a Twitter account.
Uh-oh.
The banner, a picture of her holding a massive gun. I know nothing about firearms, but it's just very, very big and probably automatic.
Oh, my God.
In her bio, a statement about her therapy practice and the peace it brings her to help people, followed by Make America Great Again.
Oh, no.
Ooh.
And her tweets are continuous, vile, nasty, racist insults she hurls at groups she disagrees with, making fun of queer people, complaining about immigrants. LOL, she, like me, is also an immigrant. It's not just Trump stuff. It's a lot of pseudoscience-y stuff verging on Nazi ideology.
By the way, anyone can be a Nazi. That's the thing we should all learn.
Oh, yeah, anybody.
You don't just have to be white. Hey, look, if there's one inclusive group, it's Nazis. All right? You don't have to just be white to be a Nazi.
I don't know what to do. Oh my God, she's awful. But she's also been really helpful to me. Do I just ghost her? Why is she a therapist? One thing that's so funny to me is that I literally told her about my family members who were executed in our home country for being Marxists.
Jesus.
Not knowing that her Twitter is just full of babble about commies and Marxists ruining the world. My partner thinks I should try to make the best of the situation because she's been very helpful. Does that make her very professional? But now I feel like I'm not going to be able to say anything to her anymore. Do I question her? Help.
And then the three scream emojis.
I mean, that's wild. That's wild. And I feel like we all have like a bad therapist story. Like one of my first therapists, I think she was actually the first one not in network. So I can't believe I paid for this fucking bullshit. But... She had a wall full of cuckoo clocks. Okay. And so when our time was up, they'd all come out and say cuckoo.
No!
What?
Couldn't even like write that if I wanted to, right? But
did
I was like,
know what she was doing?
Yes,
what
is yes.
I don't know. I like if she did, oh my god. If she didn't, oh my god. Right. So like right. Either way, not good.
Right.
But
that's some Freudian shit right there.
Yeah, I went back to her like two more times, and I'm like, why am I doing this? Just to make sure. It was not great. And she gave like okay advice, but then she like told me like how to tap on my face and my shoulder. I was like, girl, I can just go to Zumba and feel better, bitch. Like, this is a lot. All this to say, you found out, like, if you look for something, you might find something you don't like, period. Mm-hmm. Whether you're going through someone's phone or their closet or looking them up online. And so if there's something that you're looking for and you found it, then you should go. You can leave a review to help other people that might think that she could help them, and say exactly what you said. Like, she's wild. She's fucking wild. She gives good advice, but she's racist. Like, great. Sounds like a mother-in-law. All right. You know what I mean? Like, but yeah, this person, I mean, no judgment, but it feels like you kind of like the drama. And you should find a therapist that is no drama.
Well, that's your nice way of putting it. And my feeling is absolutely not. This person does not deserve the copay or whatever insurance gives her. This, you know, okay, this person's been helpful. Other people can be helpful and also not be racist, hateful. You know, because the thing is, yes, on one hand, this is why we can't Google our
Second Amendment freaks.
It's like we can't Google, but at the same time, now you have this information and there's no going back. And this is why it's like, now you know who this person is and what they stand for. And the question is, as much as, okay.
And when someone tells you about themselves, believe them, right, everyone? Right? That's what I see on the internet all the time.
Okay, Grandpa. My thing
you,
is,
Oprah.
My thing is like, because it's. Okay, yeah, so maybe they can separate this, right? Because if that's not what they're saying in session, well, good for them. But at the same time, there's also, like, there's obviously what they think.
Yeah.
And then what they say, it's like, who knows what this person's end game is with you? If this is one of those things where it's like, I'm going to fix this queer person. I'm going to do, you know what I mean? Like, how does that kind of thinking, which is their background, how does that affect their approach to what it is to quote unquote help people?
Yeah, there's no real thing such as unless all they're really doing is that kind of just like psychoanalytic, like, and then you interpret it, unless that's literally all they're doing.
Well,
worldview is going to influence how they, like, there's no real separation. Like, there's like every scientist has a point of view. Okay. Right. And it does, their ideology is going to influence how they, whatever it is, whether it's physics, sociology, or psychotherapy, it's going to influence that stuff.
Yes. And it also seems like, getting back to the you might like the drama, so you can have a healthy relationship, by the way. Like, I don't know what happened with your family. It sounds like a lot of shit went down. It doesn't have to be hard. You don't have to work with someone. And I know what it feels like when you've had like a breakthrough or aha moment. You're just like, this person's amazing. But I mean, a lot of people went to school and they could fucking help you.
Uh-huh. Exactly. That's a lot of people went to school and they could help you because here's the thing. Because you just started, you were like, my therapist acted a little strangely asking me to explain my pronouns and claiming that I had been very forward with her when asking to respect them. What's forward? First of all, this is online, right? So it's like, how forward could you be? You didn't get up in a face. You didn't shake about a shoulders.
I'll bet $1 million that the writer was just like, oh, you know, my pronouns are whatever, they, them. Please just call me that. And then because when you talk to like, I want to say MAGA, like chuds.
Yeah.
When you talk to the real freaks, you know, just by telling them like, hey, reality is different from your very small blinkered worldview, they tend to get aggressive because I think a lot of it, again, if we're going to get into some Freudian stuff, I think they get freaked out that reality is different from that
what they know,
they might have to change, and that they might have to change.
Correct.
And
so
they get aggressive because they think anything that is different is a criticism of their own little tiny.
Yeah,
we can't give this person a dime. We can't give this, because like, I'm literally looking at this like making fun of queer people, complaining about immigrants when she's also an immigrant. What you're saying, pseudoscience verging on Nazi ideology. You now have you know too much. And perhaps, as you said, you're like, I'm not sure, I don't regret it. Sure, sure. But now you know. And so now the question is, who are you? Who do you want to be?
Yes.
And so it's like, yeah, I understand. Yeah. And look, I've been talking on stage about how hard it is to find a therapist. Okay. They all book, busy, blessed. They don't even need to pay for an office space no more. Zero overhead. They said, meet me at the Zoom with your trauma. So any old body's in the game now. Any old body's in the game.
It's true.
So it's a
remember,
you got to find the right person.
Yeah.
You do. You are the company you keep, even if it's a health professional.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's certainly these people you pay them to. I ain't giving you my money.
Yeah.
A picture of Goebbels on the wall. What's
you to buy
on?
Fucking rounds of ammunition? Absolutely not.
Yeah. I remember my one of the gynecologists I had right before the election was asking, we were making small talk, and he asked me who I was voting for, and I'm like, Hillary. He was like, oh. What? I was like, what? As he's doing the pap smear, and he's like, I gotta go Trump because, you know, I'm Republican. And so, I hate to admit it, but I did fart a little bit. So I'm like, this is what I think of you. It's poo-poo.
Exactly.
I was trying to hold it in, but the fact that he couldn't hold it in, I was like, I ain't gonna hold it in either.
It is, like, people really want to try to separate, like, with professionals, like doctors or whatever. They want to say, like, well, it doesn't matter what they're... I studied philosophy. No. There's a philosopher named Heidegger. Who, great philosopher, really
great name.
Stuff.
Great name.
Great name. Joined the Nazi party, was in, and everyone tried to say, like, oh, I remember when I was coming up in the philosophy game, everyone was just like, well, you know, to teach in Germany at the time, you had to join the Nazi party. And at the time, I was like, when I was like 20, I was like, okay, I guess so. And then, like, as I got older, I was like, wait a second, he could have just not taught. Like, he could have said, he could have made a stand if he really didn't believe it.
Right.
And now there's this whole, there's a whole branch or like, there are a number of people who are, like, saying, like, actually, he was a Nazi and you can read this stuff into his philosophy. You can see where he was.
Right.
So, like, you can't really, basically, you have the people who want to pretend you can separate all this stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you have the people who live in reality.
Also... straight up, there's just power in saying no, no matter what. I saw Gabrielle Union say in an interview one time, once I started saying no, I started letting peace in.
Mm-hmm.
I made room for peace. So I feel like if you're okay saying no, you don't need to follow up.
Well, yeah, you don't.
Yeah,
I do gotta say, it is difficult to say no. Even to, like, I'm putting myself in the place of the writer, and I'm just like, man, even if I had a Nazi therapist, I would be like... I would like probably be like, oh, you know what? I feel better now. I don't think I need therapy anymore. As opposed to like, hey, you're a Nazi and I shouldn't, and I don't want to give you money.
Yeah.
But I also think it's like, but another thing, stuff with this, like, remember therapists, because I know I've talked to people a lot when they talk about dropping their representation in different ways, because I'm always like, drop them if you don't like them. But they're talking about, like, where I was like, remember, this is their job. You're not the first person who has left them, right? People leave therapists, agent, manager, whatever, for all, like, it's literally part of the job. Part of the job is you meet people, you learn about them, they decide you're not for them. And so that's the thing too, is like, you don't actually have to take care of this person's feelings. This is like 101, what you learn in therapy school. Like, learn that some people will say no thank you, ghost you, whatever.
Yeah.
So don't worry about that. This person will be fine.
But, like, do you think the writer should be honest with them? Or do you think they should?
No, they don't owe them that.
Okay, thank you. That's great. What I was going to say.
They like, don't owe them that. No.
Yeah, it's like,
even if it's a family member, I don't owe my family member shit.
Yeah.
Honest. No, I'm different. We know we different. Bye. That's exactly. Yeah. You know, that part for me, that's a fuck no.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Protect your peace.
Protect your peace.
And also just be supportive and wait for your partner at the hospital. That is so rude.
You gotta do something when you're sitting in there. You gotta scroll when you're sitting in there.
You gotta get a Game Boy at least.
Let me tell you something. You would have been snooping about your therapist anyways. You ain't gotta, like, put your partner out there with the sleep apnea and shit. and that's why you were going down the rabbit hole. You would have done that on the toilet anyways. Okay, boo-boo. That's
again,
not nice.
I appreciate the details at the top.
Oh, my Lord. I didn't need to know about the apnea. Just saying.
I like it. I'm with you. I'm with you on the setting the scene. You know what? When I write a script,
this ain't a script.
It's not a script.
It. Writing,
and you can't write a script. We're on strike. Don't be writing no scripts.
I can't hand in a script. I can still write.
Andy, hush your mouth. Hush your mouth. Michelle.
Michelle. Michelle. Michelle.
Yes. Yes. Oh my God. Yes.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, what a delight to get to spend
so
an hour with you.
So good to see you, to hear from you, for you to share your experience, strength, and hope. With all of you.
I love you guys. Thank you for having a bitch.
You're the best. You guys, we will see you next week.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.